Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Lions against the Colts, the storyline, and whether you guys are taking over the stadium or not. Bryce Underwood, the story, commits to Michigan. Number one player in the country, Belleville kid, stays home. What does it say about the future for Michigan? I think it says that they are playing ball, that they are willing to play the NIL game in today's college football, and that is a good thing for Michigan. It means they're landing an elite quarterback prospect. Nothing's given, but an elite quarterback prospect. It's a cornerstone for Sharon Moore, and it's something to give them a jolt in what's been a really down year. Ticket Texter says, guys, I just have to say it. He hasn't officially signed. He could flip again. Ticket Texter says, what if he switches back to LSU before signing day?
Well, yeah, signing day isn't until December. And until that happens, nothing is official. And yeah, that's always the risk that you run. It's the risk that LSU ran for the past, 10 months?
Yep.
From when he originally committed. And there are guys that will flip the morning of signing day. There are some guys that will actually wait until the traditional signing period, which is in February, first Wednesday of February, before they make their decision, and they can flip as many times as they want their commitment.
And he could. I mean, he could wait till February and try to hold both teams' feet to the fire. If I'm LSU, I'm trying to find more money today. I'm going to call it what it is. Feet to the fire.
Feet to the fire.
Their foots to the fire.
Deers to the fire.
Deers.
Yes. Their feet to the fire.
Multiple feet.
I walked right into that with both feet.
It must be the S on the end that just it just rings with me.
It stands out to you. Yeah. Ticket Texter says, if people had heard Valeni in the past, he was praising Michigan. We'll get Mike's thoughts coming up at 9:18. Praised Michigan for trying to get Bryce, and now they land Bryce. Ticket Text points out some dates. We mentioned anniversary for Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio State. Mentioned Ford's buying the team also on the same day as the Kennedy assassination. Ticket Texter says, and now we're going to have a Kennedy back in the administration just in time for the Lions to win the Super Bowl. Full circle moment.
Full circle.
All right, Ricardo in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Ricardo.
Ricardo?
I think he's talking to somebody out. Is he ordering coffee?
I bought my brother-in-law a $6,500.
We're eavesdropping, yeah. Oh, good for you, Ricardo.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Dylan. Dylan, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, guys? My wife and my son and his buddy are all heading to Indianapolis for the Lions game, and we're super excited for our first away game.
All right. When are you guys leaving?
Awesome.
We're leaving tomorrow morning. Going to spend some time in the city and enjoy it while it lasts, while they're still happy, I guess.
When did you guys make this decision? When the schedule came out?
Pretty much, yeah. We wanted to do an away game this year. We tried to go to one game a season. Just figured Indianapolis was a good indoor stadium to not have to deal with the weather like last night's game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think there's a lot of benefits to traveling to Indianapolis. If you're going to pick an away game, inside, easy to get to, a lot of hotel rooms, walking distance to everything. Are you staying downtown?
We actually have to stay north of town just because all the hotels were full. So I think that gives you a sign of what's maybe to come in terms of who's going to be there.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. Well, you don't have to worry about it too much because do you have a parking pass?
I do not, so that's one thing I still got to deal with.
Yeah, there's plenty of parking down there. So if you're staying in town, it's easy to walk to. You can park your car. You don't have to do anything. If you're staying outside of town, there's a lot of parking around the stadium. I think you're going to be all right.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. My wife's looking forward to the after party by the tunnel when we win.
There you go. Pre-planning the after party by the tunnel.
I can't be mad at you. You should be. I mean, we're living truly in this like football nirvana where our team's good and they're so good and they know they're good, but they also don't take that for granted and they put in the work every single week to not take the opponent lightly. They've gone on the road. They've fallen behind. They come back and they win. I mean, they did it against Minnesota. They did it against Houston. No, you absolutely can go to these games and feel a confidence you've never felt in your entire life as a Lions fan.
Yeah.
I mean, game days are no longer nervous. They're not like, oh, they're going to screw it up somehow. It's the opposite. Even if something goes bad, you kick your feet up and you go, hey, watch this. Watch what they're about to do. Let's get to the phones. We got Lou in West Bloomfield. Lou, good morning. You're on 97.1.
What's up, guys? We'll see you guys in a long time, so you know, nice to talk to you. Like most Michigan, about you know, yesterday's breaking news, because you know it signifies that Michigan is you know actually a player and they're not sticking to ways of trying to do things their own way. They're actually adapting to the game. You know, John, you know, as a Michigan guy, you can attest to this. I mean, after the national championship, you know, the college landscape changed to BCS. You know, they finally got their act together, you know, in the hurt.
Lou, your phone's not great. I'm sorry, buddy. We're trying with you here.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So, you know, I'm an excited Michigan alum, you know, that, you know, this Underwood is great for the program that, you know, you can assess it.
Okay, Lou. Sorry, bud. Sorry. Yeah. It was there.
Ask him what
gone.
He did to get instant better reception.
That was great. He's like, oh, I'll just fix it instantly.
Yeah.
Well, Lou, just do that from the start. Clearly, he was
doing
not
it. Yes.
In a great area. John, I do have a question for you in all of this. When you see the price tag, we get some disgust on the ticket text. We got some disgust on the phone calls earlier. You played when it was more pure and they weren't getting paid like this. How do you feel when you see it?
As my human reaction is, why couldn't this have happened sooner? And I do get jealous of even some of the average players that are making six figures.
I mean, guys who weren't All-Americans, team captains, national champions.
So that's the human side of it. But the, you know, the other human side of it is you understand progress, you understand times change, and you're glad that they finally got to this point where when coaches are making exorbitant amounts of money, athletic departments are making, you know, money hand over fist, not that they're all profitable, but they actually have money coming in, and you could talk about managed funds at that point, but everybody's getting rich except for the product on the field.
Yeah, the players, the ones that are performing. Yeah, and it's
here
why
is we, go ahead.
We had this idea of amateurism. It's been shamateurism. It's big business. Everybody should be getting a cut. The players are no different. Now, how do we determine it? Well, right now it's the free market, and there are no guardrails, and I'm cool if we want to put some guardrails on this, but I'm not mad at the guys for getting paid.
No.
I'm not mad at the people who have the money and are choosing to donate it. It's their money. They can do what they want with it. I'm not mad at Michigan for playing the game the way it's currently being played and trying to win that game as aggressively as they can be. I don't have any disgust today the way that I think some people do.
No, and here's the other thing. And a lot of people are going to say, well, it doesn't matter anymore. To me, it does. And it's a major concern that I have is with no guardrails on the transfers, the amount of times you can transfer. There are a select few that are going to make life-changing money. And to think that they're all going to manage it correctly, we see, you know, professional athletes, retired professional athletes go through bankruptcy all the time. Smart professional athletes that for whatever misfortune happened, they are bankrupt. It will happen. And so there's a select few that's going to make life-changing money. There's a select few that can transfer to make even more life-changing money. But all of the kids that transfer aren't in that same category. And where is the concern about graduation?
To me, it comes back to personal responsibility. These are young people, but they are adults, and they have to make decisions, and they have to have success and failure and learn from it. John, the people who should be transferring flippantly are the ones who are getting access to that money that is otherwise unattainable. Like, if I would never have a chance to play at the NFL level...
That those are the only ones that are transferring flippantly?
I said the ones that should.
Right,
because
but
they're
that's
getting
not what's
life-changing
happening.
Money.
Right.
Well, if you're transferring from A to B to C, and you're not getting paid any step of the way, you're just aimlessly wandering through your life. Like, no, clearly that's not a good thing.
But how much is it the responsibility of the adults? And I understand, yes, they're 18 years old. Don't give me that crap. But of the adults, those who are a little bit wiser, that are either coloring their hair voluntarily or they're allowed to go gray, that have been through life's experiences, should be giving some guidance.
Agreed.
And some perspective.
Agreed. You should have advisors in your life, family, friends, people you trust close to you.
But not everybody has that.
I know.
So you have to lean on some of those at universities. And I know the trust isn't always there with the NCAA or with the government or with those in athletic departments, but there needs to be there needs to be parameters in place for the 99% that are not going professional.
Let's say I don't have a great support system and I trust the coach, but then the coach leaves. Well, then I'm going to leave too. I mean, I don't want to be stuck here.
Right. But so that's why there needs to be rules.
Some
so the
rules
stay and with the university or stay with, you know, yeah, with the NCAA.
And I don't know the right way, and we're getting too far down a different rabbit hole, but I do think, yes, there needs to be some level of rule here, some level of guardrails. And maybe it is. You can transfer whenever your coach leaves, and you get one free mulligan regardless. And we still do want to encourage you. It's your life. You can transfer and look for better opportunities. We all do it. But maybe there is a cap on the transfer money that you can make. I don't know, because I don't want to limit them economically either. But there needs to be a standardized way to do this that doesn't exist right now. Let's get to Dave on a cell. You want to talk about Bryce Underwood. Bryce Underwood and what it means for Michigan football. Dave, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. The elephant in the room, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm excited as anybody to have Bryce Underwood on board, but is this the coaching staff to develop him? I am extremely disappointed with the regression of both defense and offense this year, and it's inexcusable that we didn't have a quarterback for this season, but that's another point. On offense, you can't have a passing game that exists solely of Colston Loveland in the flat, Colston Loveland, and on a slant. Yeah. You've got receivers that are basically midgets and gadget players. And we have Marlon Klein, who hasn't been involved in the offense besides blocking, who's supposed to be 6'6", and is a very fast player who plays tight end, but I don't understand why he can't be split out wide. We hear of a guy named Amiron Walker, who in preseason is always blowing it up. He had a nice catch against Washington, and we've never seen him again.
Yeah. So your concern is that they'll squander the talent that is there with Bryce.
Listen, Kirk Campbell, I mean, if this is the best we've got, it doesn't matter if Bryce Underwood's here or not. We're going nowhere. And we've regressed defensively with Wink Martindale. I mean, we got three first round draft picks on defense and we're worse. I mean, basically, I'm willing to give Sherrone Moore another chance, but in my opinion, both coordinators got to go. And you can have all the talent in the world, but if you're not coaching them up, it's not going to matter. And if we play the same style of offense we're playing this year, next year, and the following year, we're going nowhere.
I agree with everything you just said. I'm not going to fight you. I think both coordinators need to be evaluated this offseason. This is a huge offseason for Sherrone Moore. He needs to make this program his own. I think one huge step is landing a player like Bryce Underwood. But yeah, if you're going to have that sports car and park it in the garage, you're not going to get much out of it. If you've got a player who can flick the ball 50 yards down the field on the run, you better have some concepts in your offense that let him play to his strengths this offseason. And that may be a change in offensive philosophy. I think that would be necessary. He's right. It can't just be dink and dunk to the tight end, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and punt the ball. That's not an offense that caters to your player's strengths. Sherrone's going to get a chance to do that this offseason.
Yeah.
Let's get to Mike Valeni, Dog of the Week, 13-1 doing this on Fridays. We'll get his thoughts on all the big stories and his pick next. It's 97.1.
All right, you guys, the holidays are here, and I'm here to make your holiday gift giving even easier. This year, get your girl what she really wants, a beauty package from Beauty Bird Med Spa. Amy Wise and her expert team can help create a personalized package your ladies will love. It could include Botox or microneedling or really any number of their premium offerings. Now, I was recently there, and I can't speak more highly of Amy in my treatment that I received. So I'm letting you know, don't stress this year. Visit them today in Commerce, or head to mybeautybird.com. That's mybeautybird.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
-1 picking underdogs Friday mornings. He is in studio.
Hey,
how do you explain this?
Just making money hand over fist.
For now. Don't worry. It'll all come back.
Rents due. That's what happened to Heather this week.
We're running way. Oh, come on. She's had 10 good weeks.
What are you gonna do?
Make fun of her for one bad one?
It's all come crashing down for her.
That's all I got. I feel
about dog of the week. 13-1 is stupid, but we'll try it again.
We'll get to it. We've been talking Bryce Underwood, right?
Yeah, biggest story of the day.
Cornerstone for Chiron. It signals Michigan's trying. They're laying the big fish. We had a ticket text, and he says, "How's Mike going to make this negative?
Oh, come on.
How's that Spartan in the afternoon going to spin this negatively?
You know what kills me? And people do this to you guys all the time. I said like 4 days ago, I dig it. Go for it. I like this. At least you're trying. What? I don't understand. Why are people this way? What is the point of talking into a microphone if they're just not? You can't treat actual sports take like drops. You can't just pick two words.
Snippet.
Yeah, and it's me saying that Rico's enjoying his beautiful new bleep when he was really talking about his outdoor living space. I mean, whatever, dude. Yeah, no, it's not my money. Go for it. If you want me to spin it negatively, here it is. I just would have preferred spending in the portal to get a finished product. Several of them.
Why not both?
Oh, go for it. Again, not my money.
Right.
But here's the deal. When you pay Underwood what you're paying him, you're starting him. So you can't go buy a quarterback.
Right.
No, but you can buy receivers and offensive linemen and support pieces.
Listen, they are trying, and that's the best thing you can hope for as a fan.
We're taking all of the conversations that we have had leading up to April draft, March free agency in the NFL, and basically applying them now to high schoolers coming out in college football. Like it's so weird because like to your point, you go sign a high priced free agent, and you're not gonna sign somebody as a high priced backup.
No,
but you're gonna go and then try and either recruit or sign other guys from the transfer portal or around college football to complement said player.
John, what keeps me from being able to take the sport seriously, A, my school blows, but B, it's also, like, look, let's say Michigan got Underwood, and let's say the terms are $12.5 million. If he had signed a contract, if players had contracts where, look, you're stuck with us and we're stuck with you, it would allow me to slowly, I think, re-engage with it on a very real level.
Because
this is not, the sport, not Underwood, the sport right now is complete parody. It's nonsense.
So reading deeper into that, you would know I got a 3-year window with this guy as opposed to he could flip next year for more money.
And I think the adults who want to hand the money and the families who want to take it, and by the way, good for Underwood. Like, that's life-changing money. That's phenomenal. But I want accountability in that, meaning, like, I think John will appreciate this. Not everything's linear. Like, in life or sports, bad times are going to happen. Adversity's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what you don't get to do? Duck tail and walk out every time bleep gets hard. And you're seeing players do that now. Oh, I lost my job for 10 minutes. Wah, I'm hitting the portal week 7. No. Contracts would prevent a lot of the stupidity. But no, the on-basis thing, Jim, I can't help it. If people don't listen to what I say, so be it.
Okay.
This is a great thing for Michigan because it's showing you they're not going to tolerate watching what they watch this year, and they're going to join, name a school, at being hyper-aggressive and buying their way into this. You can't ask for more as a fan.
Okay, so 2 o'clock, people will ignore everything you just said and expect you to jump on them.
Wolverines, blah, blah.
So that's coming up at 2. TJ Lang at 3.
Yeah, TJ's got strong opinions about this Underwood thing, too.
Okay.
We were texting last night. I'm like, bro, just save this for 3 o'clock, will you please? Instead, he comes in here and he's sweating and he needs 17 spit bottles.
Yeah, but
like,
that's just walking in.
Dude, he's always running at like 180 degrees. So, yeah, no, we're going to do that.
Problem.
And then we're going to kind of go 2 by 2. Michigan at 2-4, Lions at 3-5. Because I do think the Underwoods, it's a huge story.
All right, dog of the week. Can you keep it up?
No. 13-1 is impossible, but all right. You want to do two of them or one? Because one of them is a dedication to you. One is an ode to Costa. A
dedication to me. Well, then I want that one. Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
All right. The first one. This is disgusting, and it's a terrible idea, and I fully blame Jim if this doesn't work. We're going to take Auburn catching 2.5 from Texas A&M at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Look ahead spot for A&M. Auburn's defense is really, really good, and their offense is really, really good when they don't light their own car on fire and drive it off a cliff. The 2.5 is super scary. They need it for a bowl. Hugh Freeze coaching for his job. So we'll go Auburn. And then the other one is the Rat special. You know the one we're going to do. We're going to Boston College, senior day, catching 2.5 against North Carolina. Need it for a bowl. BC's QB change actually helped them.
Yeah.
They've gone pure power run with Robichaux and company. Play action passes, what Castellanos couldn't do. So we'll go BC with the 2.5. We'll go Auburn with the 2.5.
The Auburn thing to me,
it's disgusting.
We're betting Peyton Thorne, which is going to be painful.
It's awful. This is a terrible idea.
It is the ultimate look ahead. Texas A&M is not looking ahead to just any game.
Yeah.
It's the Texas game. It's a spot potentially in the playoffs, the SEC title picture. It's a game 15 years in the making.
Yeah.
And we get the look ahead spot Auburn.
And it's human nature. Yeah. Like as a locker room, how do you not have one eye on Texas when you've looked at the film of Auburn? You go, well, they'll hand us the ball 2-3 times.
I think Elko even might have slipped up this week saying where our full focus is on Texas. I mean,
Auburn.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Wish it was 3. Because I do feel like we're going to lose 20-17. But you just take 2.5.
That's how it is.
Yes.
All right. Cash the Ticket is out for college. NFL episode out later today. Let's get to Heather's news.
All right. Well, University of Connecticut women's basketball coach Gino Auriemma was gifted a literal goat after becoming the winningest coach in NCAA history on Wednesday, earning the title greatest of all time. So history.
Now he doesn't have to mow anymore.
Let the goat just go out there and graze. Yeah, so history was made after the Huskies defeated Fairleigh Dickinson University. Auriemma got his 1,217th win. So that's where the history was made. Yep. Now, it's all fun and games, right? Everyone was excited. There was tons of people there watching. But there was one group of people who was not very excited at all.
It's not PETA.
Are we doing this again?
We are. Well, I'm not, but PETA is. Yes, PETA was just angered by the fact that they had that live goat there that they say was clearly under duress, was visibly anxious, and they say the handler might not have noticed, but the collar was like digging into the goat's neck as they were walking the goat out to the court. And then they didn't get the goat out of there right away. They let it sit there, take pictures. I had all the lights flashing in its eyes. Like, so they're sending a letter to let them know this should never happen again.
Oh, I just want to go off the grid. I hate people. I can't do this anymore.
Hey, here's some good news. You might want to encourage your wives, your girlfriends, your significant others to watch that viral holiday movie I told you all about yesterday, Hot Frosty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it might not sound like something up your alley, but wait till you hear this. It might be more up your alley than you think. According to a sex therapist, Dr. Laura Berman, the movie could likely help guys get lucky during the winter months.
It primes the pump.
Yeah. So this doctor says that, you know, there's studies that show during the winter months, people's sex drives decrease because there's more stress around the holidays. There's less alone time because you got family in town.
I heard your news yesterday. You almost knocked John out of his chair.
Yeah.
I'm not
because
saying
how cold
word.
It's getting.
Yeah,
outside,
I'm not saying the word because you'll turn me into a drop.
Yes.
I know what you were talking about.
Well, and they also say depression is higher because it's colder out. Whatever. That's besides the point. But
that's when you need the loving the most.
Well, this woman says that Hot Frosty could cure this seasonal dry spell.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I want to shout Heather out. Her headphones are so loud, I was able to hear that clip without wearing headphones.
Are you going to go deaf early?
I might.
Between her and Doug, I don't know who keeps their headphones louder.
Really?
When I walk in here, I learned years ago, you can't have your headphones on when you plug into where Doug sits.
Oh, because it will just...
Dead.
Yeah.
Mm. Deaf.
Deaf. Mm. And then dead.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Let's see. Do I have time for this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's see. Okay. So Minnesota Wild forward Mats Zuccarello,
yes.
I believe you say it,
well done.
Faced a really painful injury during his game against the Canadians on November 14th. He fell to the ice after he was struck in a really sensitive area. Mm. He did undergo surgery the following day to address what was only being described then as a lower body injury.
Uh-oh, he got the Lidstrom, didn't he?
But now we're learning a little bit more. His teammate opened up to 93X Minnesota and revealed that the injury was a ruptured testicle.
Yep, that's the Lidstrom.
Oh, no.
He thought he was going to have one night.
He kept both of them, though, so that's good.
A story of triumph.
Yes.
I think Lidstrom played an entire game with one and then went and got the surgery.
Oh.
I'd have to ask Gov. Is he leering over me like Darth Vader?
No, he's not. There's a prop behind you today.
Yeah. What is that? Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
Listen.
Go Mike in the studio.
Yeah, you can't hurt someone who doesn't have feelings. Michigan good. We're bad. Like, guys, what do you want me to say? It's not real. You know when this would have upset me? 10 years ago. When State had a real program, they'd be like, oh, God, they got a really good player. Now, please. Doesn't matter.
Did you add more drops? Are these new drops over
here? That's not my board.
Oh, okay. This is afternoons.
Like double- nah, that's David's. You got to go. Mine's got double the drops of that. I got like 30 rows. I'm sorry, Heather.
Never heard.
I up in the news here.
Oh.
Are these things you guys are playing on your show?
I've never heard the soul food drop.
No, that's David's board.
We got to do some more exploring when we get some downtime. That's Mike Valenti.
You have carte blanche. I've always told you, you are welcome to my board. I don't care.
Catch him later today. It's 97.1. A Thanksgiving edition of the Cookie Jar. The first question, to host or not to host?
My answer is yes, host. I don't want to go anywhere on Thanksgiving Day unless it's actually to Ford Field. But yeah, I spent so many years working and practicing on Thanksgiving and having to go different places for the holidays. I told my family now, we're going to be at home. You guys are all welcome to join us. Love to have as many as possible, but no, we're staying at home.
I love hosting. I don't love hosting Thanksgiving. So no,
that's
I'd rather
you
go
hate
somewhere.
Thanksgiving.
I know. So I'd rather just go somewhere and call it a day.
It's probably the biggest lift to host Thanksgiving over any other holiday. Because of the food, because of the cleanup, the preparation, all of it.
It's a lot of work.
I would rather attend somebody else's Thanksgiving.
Oh, I think the bigger lift is Christmas because you've got to convince, not for you, but you've got to convince your kids, leave all the stuff that you just got. Let's go over to so-and-so's house and then we can come back. It's just, no, I think the biggest lift is always going to be Christmas for a number of different reasons.
I've always gone someplace else for Thanksgiving, so I am intrigued by the thought of hosting one day, one holiday, whatever that is. So I'm going to err on the side of, I'm going to say host here.
Yeah.
Tom?
John nailed it. We're hosting Christmas. If you want to see us on Christmas, you're coming to our house. So for me to be so selfish to also say I'm not leaving my house on Thanksgiving, I'll open it up. I do like to host Thanksgiving, but I'll easily go somewhere on Thanksgiving because we made the decision. We don't leave our house on Christmas.
Yeah.
Best Thanksgiving food?
Smoked turkey. Until you've had it, you can't knock it. Have you ever had smoked turkey?
Yes. It's good.
I'm not talking cold cuts out of the deli shop.
Oh, you're talking like a deep fried turkey?
No. Deep frying a turkey is different than smoking a turkey.
Okay.
Yeah. No, yes. Smoking an actual bird.
I have not had a smoked bird for Thanksgiving.
Might change your perspective.
Heather?
Mashed potatoes are my favorite Thanksgiving Day food.
With gravy.
Down. Oh,
just mashed potatoes. I'm just going to say mashed potatoes.
Don't go any further.
Don't need gravy.
Do you like gravy?
Probably.
Probably. Would you put butter on it?
Sure. Butter can go on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
Yep. Big old glob of butter.
Okay. My answer here is turkey slop. So it's a bite of turkey with the gravy on it and then putting a little stuffing with it in the same bite.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, because I'm not picking any.
It's one of the few meals where everything can,
all right, stuffing.
Most things on your plate can touch.
Well, they can, and that's fine. But the answer was one food and you just said, I'm going to throw it all in one big butt. You can't do that.
But then it becomes one food.
Right, exactly. Turkey slop. You never heard of that?
I've heard of that, but you're cheating. That's not the spirit of it.
Oh, it's not the spirit of the rule?
I was going to go with stuffing, which sounds like you just did as well.
Yes.
Greg.
Sounds like more of Gov's ties that he hates stuffing. I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, the worst Thanksgiving food is...
I love sweet potatoes, but I hate the sweet potato casserole where they put marshmallows on top. It makes me gag.
Really?
Oh. You make the sweet potatoes, put some brown sugar on there, smother it in butter. Yummy.
I got to go to your parties, and I'll just take all of the marshmallows off the top, and then you can have the rest.
It would be a great combo.
Yeah. I got to say, anything cranberry related, or what are those salads with the Cool Whip? They're like... are they fruit with like, it's like a cold salad. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
They probably taste okay, but they look so disgusting. I have never actually tried one. What? There's a name for them. Somebody knows. It's like,
I'm going to disgust any parent that had kids that are maybe, I don't know, 18 to 16 years old right now. Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. The Wiggles.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
They're going to be singing it in their heads all day long
maybe
now.
Maybe it's not even fruit. I don't know, but those are my two.
The worst to me is that cranberry sauce from the can with the ridges, the gelatinous jiggles.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Number one, you want just the right amount of jiggle.
Thank you, John.
No interest in anything cranberry sauce.
Have you ever had homemade cranberry sauce? No. I'm just telling you, I was the same way. I don't like it out of a can, but until my wife made cranberry sauce, I don't want it to. This is one that cannot touch any other food. I like it just the way it is, separate. But yes, I'll take homemade cranberry sauce.
See, I don't eat cranberries. It's not like I hate them, though. I just don't want it with part of this type of food.
Yeah.
I'm going to shake the earth here, I think, a little with this one. Pumpkin pie.
How dare you?
Well, you have your things. I just heathered.
I know.
You just heathered? Do you make it a verb?
Yes.
To have a bad food opinion is to heather?
Pumpkin pie.
Well, is it the pumpkin or is it the texture?
Just don't
of
really care
the...
for it that much.
Hmm.
I don't really have a sweet tooth, though. My mother-in-law makes great cheesecake, and it just blows pumpkin pie away.
Okay.
Wow.
John is disturbed.
I am disturbed. I'm not really sure who I'm working with anymore.
This upcoming Wednesday is known as the biggest bar night of the year. Mm-hmm. Does it live up to the hype in your mind?
I wouldn't know, and it's been so long, I wouldn't even remember.
I would say no. I mean, back in the day when I went out for the biggest bar night of the year, I mean, it's fun. All your friends are home from college or from school, you know, so it's fun to get together and go out. I feel like those nights never live up to the hype, though.
Correct.
Never. So I would say no.
The hype is getting together with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. You haven't seen each other for 3 months because you've all been at different colleges. So for that reason, I say it does live up to the hype. But if you're looking for some like crazy special party night or something like that, it's really not that. It's seeing everybody again.
I agree. You know, the one thing I'm remembering now, it's the worst night for a bar night to be hungover on Thanksgiving, day when you're supposed to consume the best food ever and drink some drink. It's the worst day to be hungover when you don't have an appetite. Can't eat all the food.
It's all right. I've done it one time. It was back in 2011. Michigan was actually playing out in Maui. They won the third place game with freshman Trey Burke against UCLA. So that was nice.
Yeah, I think it's for people who peaked in high school. All right, let's get to a couple more of these. Lions, Cowboys. Should they always have Thanksgiving or should they free this up for more teams?
I think they should always have Thanksgiving. And I mean, selfishly, you can do whatever you want with the Cowboys game, but I do like tradition. Shocker to everyone that's listening, I'm sure. But I like the tradition in Detroit. I played in both. The one in Detroit, I played in the one in Dallas. And I think both cities do a great job. So I think they should keep them.
I think they should both stay. And yeah. I like that they have the third game for everybody else.
Sure, yeah.
But it's a tradition. The day is built around football, and it's built around home football games in Detroit and Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Well, Thursday night, once you play that game, that's just like every other Thursday night in the season.
Yeah.
You have Thursday night games.
I want to start the talking point that the NFL should take away the Thanksgiving Day game away from the Cowboys.
That's
How
right.
How about that?
Yeah. Yes, yes. You can't win a game at home. It's bye week for whoever's visiting you.
They did this to us for years. You're right, Greg. Yeah. Great chance to put the shoe on the other foot.
I would argue this is maybe one of the greatest traditions in sports.
Yeah.
I think everybody's used to it. I know when the teams are bad, people criticize it a little bit. But, well, shame on you. You should have done it first, you fools.
Yeah.
You got a parade. Then it's in Detroit.
Yep.
Then you go to Dallas and you have the whole Salvation Army thing and the kettles on there. It gets you. It sets the tone for the holiday season. And there's always a pretty good concert at the Cowboy Stadium. You know, Dolly Parton last year. I mean, how cowboy was that? That's not the same if it's not there.
You know, you're right.
And so this should be remain untouched. And you're right, Jimmy. You added the third game. You're good.
Last question: is Black Friday as we know it dead?
It depends how you know it. Like, you probably know it differently than I knew it with my mom and grandma. We used to go down to, you know, Indiana to have Thanksgiving, and then the next morning it was, you've got to be up when it's at 5 in the morning to hit, whether it's Best Buy, whatever the store was, to get those deals. Now, Black Friday has expanded so much that you can get those deals online for 3 weeks.
Black Friday is totally dead. In fact, I've already almost forgotten what day Black Friday is. If Friday wasn't in the word, I would be like, which day is Black Friday? Is it the day before Thanksgiving or the day after? Because Black Friday's already started. All the stores already have Black Friday deals I can buy right now, and it's Friday the 22nd. It's totally dead. Nobody's like looking through magazines to see what the deal is and waking up at 4 a.m.
No, they go online to see what the deals are.
I know. It's over. It's done. It's dead.
Are you ready for Black Wednesday?
I mean, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is.
I want a different color if it's Wednesday. Oh, wow. Okay. It is dead as we knew it, because as we knew it is the lines. But
yeah,
it's
the
just
crowds,
really
the
what
fighting.
It's transformed.
Yeah. It's been altered forever, and it's no longer going to be what it was.
But is it better, though?
It probably is better.
Sure,
probably
you can improve on things.
Hey, Black Friday died when Nebraska moved to the Big Ten, stopped playing Colorado.
That's right.
I would agree with that. Also, though, we still get fights. They happened last year.
Yeah, but if you're not...
You know, like in places like Kentucky where they don't have internet at, you know, down there, they...
So they're like in olden times? It's like Black Friday throwbacks if you're in rural...
West Virginia, Walmart.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, it used to be you get there at 4 in the morning.
They're all shopping for the toothbrush.
Oh no, John. That is the cookie jar. 97.1. You didn't have to do that.
To manage, I lived in Virginia, and trust me, that one said way too much. When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you and work with you to build a financial plan that fits your situation. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
That's more like it. There we go. They deserve to win that game. They did win that game. Red Wings... We talked about it.
Red Wings fans happy everywhere, especially those that were there.
Really needed that one. Coming back from that awful West Coast swing. Season starting to slip away. They played inspired hockey. They're the better team. They won. Doesn't mean anything for their next game, but it is something they can build off of.
Sure. Well, that's the hope, is that they do build off it, that they were able to stop the slide before it got too bad, and hopefully they could build on it. And I don't know if you could say you save your season, 19, 20 games in?
Right.
But...
Listen, there are teams that are firing coaches.
They do all add up.
And yeah, you needed to get something to stabilize this team. I did like the line they put together with Kasper centering Kane and DeBrincat. They didn't score any goals. I want to see more of that line, though. Bergeron, young player. He had a big goal to tie the game. It felt like, okay, fine. The game's tied. Now it's right where Detroit wants it to be, and you need your best players, Lucas Raymond, to finish it off. So loved seeing that. Simon Edvinson, I thought, had a good game. These are young players. Like, you ask, like, can they salvage this? Can they dig out of an early struggle? It's going to have to be with these young players who have not yet hit their peak. As the season goes on, those players have to lead them the rest of the way. Some ticket techs. We just got done with the Cookie Jar Thanksgiving edition.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, what you're looking for is an ambrosia salad.
Ambrosia salad. I mean, it sounds like it would be good. It's got everything I like in it, right? Fruit, Cool Whip.
Yummy, yummy.
Maybe, I think there's marshmallow in it.
But like, I just Googled it.
It looks gross, right?
Yeah.
I've never had it.
Looks like someone ate it and then...
regurgitated it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not exactly the most appetizing presentation.
Well, have you had one of those? Yeah. No, anything with marshmallows in it, I'm kind of out. I'm not a marshmallow fan. Yeah. If it's just whipped cream, I'm in.
Multiple people saying, yes, Heather, ambrosia salad. Lions started the Thanksgiving Day game. They should never have to give it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now that they're good, too. I mean, that was the old bit for years, is why do we have to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, now's the payoff.
Yep. And as Tirico put it a couple weeks ago, Lions have saved Thanksgiving. Because you realize what the Giants-Cowboys matchup is? It's Cooper Rush against Tommy Cutlets. So you're welcome, America.
Yes.
This one says, favorite Thanksgiving food, Dan and Troy. Give me stuffing, but... not the try-hard fancy homemade stuffing. He likes the stovetop stuffing out of the box.
You know, so we always have this debate in the house because Lisa will stuff the turkey, and then that's our stuffing. The kids grew up on the stovetop stuffing, so they still want the stovetop stuffing. So we sometimes will have both.
You have to do both.
I'm a big fan of the stuff the bird. It's so good.
My birthday is Wednesday the 27th, bar night, then the Lions game on Thursday, thanks to my parents. Spent $800 a piece to take me to my first Thanksgiving game. I'm so excited. Chris in Lincoln Park.
There you go.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. You've done the Lions Thanksgiving Day game.
I have.
Yeah. In person. I've done it once.
Yeah, spilled my nachos all over myself.
Did you really?
Yeah. So disappointed. I sat down. Jack was with me, Lisa's dad. Jack reached over and, you know, did something. I don't know what it was. Nachos right all over.
Was this early in the game?
Yeah, it was. I mean, so I recovered with another order of nachos.
But you looked like you had
cheese all over you.
I had cheese all over me.
I'm with Heather on this. Mashed potatoes are the best food for Thanksgiving. Maybe it's because over the years, I rarely eat mashed potatoes anymore, but I do love pumpkin pie.
Mashed potatoes do require some effort to make. So they're not made as often as just a regular baked potato or, you know, some other potato recipes, but...
But like potatoes are a major food group for Heather.
They are. They're probably my favorite food group. I like all forms of potatoes. There's no form of potato I don't like.
I know. I want to make sure we end this conversation quickly enough so you don't talk about how you soil the potatoes.
You know, like
I
won't bring it up. That she,
you know,
stop it.
You
I'm
did.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Anyway, 248-539-9797 with some last-minute ticket text on this. This one says, love, love, love the stovetop stuffing, but I only make it and then scoop them into cupcake pans, then add bacon. Holy crap. Game changer. Crispy and moist in the middle. It's delicious.
Whoa, please reread that one.
Stovetop stuffing scooped into cupcake pans with bacon on top. It says, holy crap, what a game changer.
Wow, that might have just been a life-changing moment for me.
I
didn't even think about that.
That is worth exploring. As is worth exploring more of these drops. So here are a few more of them. I'm sure Doug really likes that one.
Oh.
Okay.
There is much more fun for us to have in the coming weeks. Gator is in the studio. Carson Anderson is coming up next. It's a Friday.
It is indeed.
Happy Friday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad it's Friday.
Yeah.
Feels like it's been a long week.
We got the short week coming up next week.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, it's still work, so.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the weekend. Getting ready. Just enjoying myself.
What do you want to see from the Lions on Sunday?
I want to see them be able to contain a running quarterback.
Yeah. That seems to be the consensus from most people.
And I want to see it. I want to see him play bully ball. Just run it down their throat the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to throw. Indianapolis is not good against the run. Just go ahead and take advantage of that and
do what you do best.
Yeah. Use all four of your running backs. Rotate them. Mm-hmm. Because I'd rotate every player in this for Sunday. So long as you're comfortable enough where you can do that. I mean, if it's going to be a tight game, you can't do that. But if you get up by like three scores, why don't you start bringing in other players? I'm not saying take the other guys out completely, but because you've got the short week, take advantage of what you've got.
I want to ask you whether you think the Lions could take over the game. What I mean by that is the 51% mark or more will be Lions fans on Sunday.
The only way that happens is if they're blowing out Indianapolis and their fans just obviously if they leave en masse. And I don't know what kind of fan base they have, if they choose to leave early or not.
Right.
I don't know how many, I mean.
But like Lions fans, the thought here is drivable, it's more affordable, it's indoors, you're not worried about any weather. And Lions fans, it's, you guys have touched about it every single week, like the Lions fans take over.
Yeah, I don't know how many fans are going to be there. I mean, that's one of the questions I think we're going to ask the people. Who's going down? And
I think when the schedule came out, we had this with a lot of callers today. When the schedule came out, that was the one they identified easiest to get to.
Yeah.
It's indoors at this time of the year.
If you can get 15,000 fans, which I think is a lot, then it won't take much to get the 51 because all 15,000 of those fans are going to stick around to the end if the Lions are winning. So you could see that, definitely.
Douglas,
what's up?
What's going on?
No, well, we'll preview that game in depth. We also have a classic moment. A classic moment
from
last night's Thursday night game.
Oh, yeah.
Snow games, baby.
Yep.
All right, Carson Anderson, they're next. It's a Friday. It's 97.1.